Ramsey TV.
Much more treasure here to be had in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to follow up yesterday's video in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 5. You remember I told you yesterday, this may have been difficult to believe for some people, but to be walking in accord with flesh. Again, most people think that when they hear that someone's walking in accord with flesh, it means, oh, they're sinning all the time. But Scripture defines Scripture, and we're going to see that here in verse 5. Welcome to MCTV. I'm Martin Zender, your host into freedom, happiness, joy, a worry-free life, and a happy expectation as we concentrate not on what our flesh is doing, but what on the Spirit is doing within us. Now here we go. This will prove, verse 5 will prove what I was telling you concerning what walking according to flesh actually means in Romans 8:1. Listen to this, verse 5. For those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of the flesh. There's the definition right there. You want a definition of those who are walking in accord with flesh? They're disposed to that which is of flesh. What is of flesh? Sin. Sin is of the flesh. And those who are disposed to it are disposed to sin, whether they're trying to fight against their sin or whether they're indulging their sin. It doesn't matter. The subject matter here is sin. Yet, those in accord with Spirit are disposed to that which is of the Spirit. If just 1% of you is of the Spirit, then that's what you are to be disposed to, and you're to turn a deaf ear to the other voices that are screaming, whether inside or out, for you to be disposed to things of the flesh. I'm telling you, Christianity, the first day you get in there, is they're constantly disposed to the things of the flesh. They put a holy sheen on it, they whitewash it, but it's still the same, disposed to that which is of the flesh. For the disposition of the flesh is death. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's the flesh is dying because it's mortal. And so naturally, the flesh, in a figure here, because the flesh is being personified, the flesh is disposed to death. The disposition of the flesh is death. And if you're disposed to the flesh, and the flesh is disposed to death, then guess what? You're disposed to death. Do you want to be disposed to death? I wouldn't think so. No, don't be disposed to death. But to be monitoring your flesh all the time, to be worried about your sins, is to be preoccupied with a death-like preoccupation. It's gloomy. It's cavernous. It's filled with cobwebs and spooky voices. It's a roller coaster ride. We all went through this ride in Christianity. Up and down, up and down. My flesh is doing pretty good today. Oh, my flesh is doing terrible the next day. My flesh is doing pretty good today. My flesh is doing terrible the next day. What's the common denominator here? Flesh, flesh, flesh. The flesh, no matter if it performs one day and crashes the next day, it's disposed to death. The roller coaster ride that we were all on in Christianity leads to death. It leads to, leading up to death is worry, guilt, condemnation. But the disposition of the Spirit is life and, oh, look at this at the end of verse 6. Let me wind up to it again because this is so good. Those who are in accord with Spirit are disposed to that which is of the Spirit. For the disposition of the flesh is death. One word, period. Yes. Yet the disposition of the Spirit is life, and something is added here. Life and peace. Paul's gospel is all about peace. If you're not at peace with your flesh, with the way your flesh is performing or not performing, then you are walking in accord with flesh. That is, you're disposed to the things of the flesh. And again, sin is one of the things of the flesh. yet the disposition of the Spirit is life and peace. How can this be? Well, Paul explaining everything here in Romans chapter 8. Because the disposition of the flesh is enmity to God. This seems hard to believe. The disposition of the flesh is death and enmity to God? Yes, because God has already declared something concerning you that you are righteous. So if you're still disposed to the flesh instead of this grand announcement of God that you're justified, then you are at enmity with God. You're at enmity with a God who says that you're already righteous. I've told you many times, it's a slap in the face to God, who, after he declares you righteous because of the death of his son on the cross, to then still be disposed to the flesh, well, that makes you at enmity with God. Isn't that ironic? The very people who think they're working hard on their flesh to please God are, in fact, at enmity with God. Enmity is the exact opposite of peace. God wants us to be at peace. He calls us in peace. He calls us to quiet life and a peaceful life. And I'm telling you the radical truth that you can still do this. You can still live a mild and quiet life and be at peace in spite of what your flesh is doing. Why? Because you're not disposed to it. You don't pay attention to it. You don't put your accomplishments on a graph and try to measure yourself against yourself or against other people or against Jesus Christ, who came up with WWJD back in the day. Talk about disposition to death. What would Jesus do? Jesus would die on the cross for the sins of the world. Can you do that? Did you do that? No. Well, that's what Jesus would do. So get rid of WWJD. How about that? Oh, WWJD now? What would Jesus do now? He would encourage you to believe Romans chapter 8, that you can now be at peace with God by accepting the Spirit's law of life. How about you follow that law, the Spirit's law of life? And we're getting in-depth description of it here. So why is the flesh at enmity with God? Verse 7, for it is not subject to the law of God. Ho-ho, it's a losing battle. The flesh is not subject to the law of God. The flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither is it able. Now those who are in flesh are not able to please God. Hey, are you in flesh? That's what this is. That's just the flesh. You're not able to please God. If you look down and see an epidermis, you're not able to please God. It says, bug flying around me, those in the flesh. Those in flesh are not able to please God. Is that where you want to live? Do you want to stop trying to please God? It's over. You don't have to try to please God anymore. God could not be more pleased with you through the work of his son on the cross. Now, you might say, well, yes, but Martin, I don't have enough spirit. Some people have more spirit than I do. I hang out with other members of the body of Christ. They have a lot more spirit than I do. Oh yeah, well, listen to this. And you might say, I'm still too fleshly. I don't qualify for this statement. I wish I did. Stop. Paul's got you covered. He's already anticipated all your whiny arguments. Don't worry, I get whiny sometimes too. Yet you are not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be that God's Spirit is making its home in you. Well, you know God's Spirit is making its home in you. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Spirit of God makes its home in you. That's the only reason you believe Paul's gospel. That's the only reason you believe that the death of Christ for your sin was successful and that he took the old humanity to the tomb with him and rose without it. And because of that, the old humanity has been crucified and there is now a new humanity. All things are made new. That's to be your disposition. And all it takes for that is to have the Spirit of God making its home in you. There's nothing here about volume. There's nothing here about the amount of the Spirit of God. It just says you are not in flesh but in spirit, if so be that God's Spirit is making its home in you. And we know that God's Spirit makes his home in us in measure. We will be filled with the Spirit at our snatching away. In fact, I believe that the filling of the Spirit will precede our snatching away by about, 0.06 nanoseconds. We'll be filled with the Spirit of God, and then we won't be able to help but to be immortal and to rise into the air, defying gravity, meeting the dead in Christ, meeting Christ himself, and being forever with the Lord at that point. Now, if anyone has not Christ's Spirit, this one is not his. There are some people right now who in an aeonian life sense are not his. I mean, they're his absolutely, in that Christ died for the whole world and the world is justified. But we're talking about those to whom he has given the measure of the Spirit to cause them to believe the message that I'm giving you today, the message that Paul brought, the message that Paul got from Jesus Christ himself. If anyone is not Christ's Spirit, this one is not his. Now, if Christ is in you, this is an amazing statement, verse 10. Now, if Christ is in you, and he is, the Spirit of God is making its home in you. This is an amazing statement. You expect it to read this way. Now, if Christ is in you, then you will never sin again. That's what you expect to read here. If Christ is in you, then you will be able to do whatever you want to do. You will be able to will yourself not to sin, and then you will not sin. But you're not going to believe what this verse actually says. Are you ready for this? Now, if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin. Oh, what? Are you kidding me? If Christ is in you, the body is dead. What? This is exactly what Paul experienced in Romans chapter 7. Was the Spirit of God not in him? Paul's writing in Romans chapter 7 of his present experience. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. The Spirit of God was making its home in Paul, and yet, at the same time, the body is dead because of sin. So, this is an admission, an essential admission that sin is still operating in us. This destroys the whole Christian argument that you could possibly live a life without sin. That's what they actually think. They actually think that if they work hard enough, if they pray hard enough, if they sweat hard enough, if they go to enough church services, if they give up every single pleasure in life, they actually believe, in spite of what they say. Now, they may say something like, of course I can. Of course I'm still a sinner. No, they don't believe that. They don't freaking believe it. They think that they can actually walk a life free of sin, which would be a denial. And they also admit that the life of Christ is in them. But the scripture says, if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin. This denies the stupid thought that anybody could possibly eradicate their lives of sin in this life. Can't happen. And if you think it can happen, you're in for a life of frustration. I love this. If Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin. Yet! I told you this was a great section. Yet! The Spirit is life. How? Because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Yours? How could it be yours? The body is indeed dead because of sin, even with the Spirit of Christ making its home in you. This is Jesus Christ's righteousness and the righteousness of Christ that is imparted to you via the avenue of faith. All these things I'm telling you are reckoned by the avenue of faith. Faith is a gift. And Paul prays for the saints. I'm praying for you. Right now, praying for you that the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be giving you greater measures of faith. Come to a greater realization and revelation of Christ, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling, and also for you to know what he has done for you right here, right now, as you sit there listening to this show. Now, if the Spirit of him who rouses Jesus from among the dead is making its home in you. I see, it's so logical. Paul is proceeding point by point by point. He doesn't want you to miss any of this. If the Spirit of him who rouses Jesus from among the dead is making its home in you, check. He who rouses Christ Jesus from among the dead will also be vivifying your mortal bodies. Why? Because of his Spirit making its home in you. Oh, this is so elemental. It's written on an eighth grade level, but it's the deepest spiritual truth you will find, I believe, in the entire Word of God. And hardly anybody believes what I'm reading you. Christian world has never heard of this. They can't go anywhere near this because they're all oriented on the performance of the flesh. Romans 8 is an atom bomb against being disposed to the flesh, tending to the flesh, being worried about the flesh. The body is dead because of sin. Get used to it. Get used to it. The body is dead because of sin. What more do you expect? Give up on it. The disposition of the flesh is death. So if you're disposed to your flesh, then you're about to go to death. You're heading to death. Why? Because it's a deathly and deadly occupation to be occupied with the flesh. Oh, I know it's still operating. That fact is all over Romans 6, 7, 8, 9, 6, 7, and 8. It's all over. That the flesh is still operating. Sin is still operating. Romans 6, 7, 8, it's right here. But so what? That's not our concern. That's God's concern. But he who rouses Christ Jesus, you know who that was? That was God. God woke up Christ in the tomb. That was powerful. Powerful move to make somebody who was dead alive. That's God's power. Well, guess what? The God who rouses Jesus from among the dead, the spirit of him, the spirit of the God, capital G God, who rouses Jesus from among the dead is making its home in you. Therefore, he who rouses Christ Jesus from among the dead will also, will, not might, not could, will also be vivifying your mortal bodies. How do I know? Because he did it with Christ. Christ is the first fruit of those who are reposing, and he's the first fruit of we who still live and breathe upon this earth and revel in this truth. It's the same power that raised Christ, roused and raised and vivified Christ, is the power inside of you. It's the Spirit of God. And it's the earnest of the inheritance. It's not much, but it's a real deal. It's enough to say that the Spirit of God is making its home in you. And it's enough to say that because of that little tiny bit of Spirit making its home in you, that you are to be disposed to that. I don't care if it's 1% and your flesh is 99%. You are not disposed. You should not be disposed. I don't want you to be disposed to the 99%. That's not the powerful part. I would rather have 1% of spirit than 99% of death. What does 99% of death get you? Death. What does 1% of death get you? Death. 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 You see this flesh? It's disposed to death. It is not able to be subject to the law of God. It says that right here. Don't have to read it again. The disposition of the flesh is enmity to God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither is it able. Romans 8, 7. Those who are in flesh are not able to please God. When are you going to give it up? I know you've given it up already, but there might be somebody over your shoulder who's going, what? I've never heard this before. Well, this has been in Scripture a long time. But it's not popular among those who preen themselves in the flesh. Not popular among those who compete in the flesh to outdo one another in the morality department. Well, congratulations. You're all going to death. Doesn't matter. This guy maybe has a great day. That person has a bad day. You're all going to death. You're all going into death. If you have 1% of the Spirit, that is your disposition. And that Spirit is a guarantee of the fullness of the Spirit later. And it's the same Spirit. I don't care if it's only 1%. It's the same Spirit that roused Christ from among the dead. And it will also vivify your mortal bodies. Another evidence here in this text, your mortal bodies, that we now possess mortal bodies. It sucks. Forget about them. Let me ask you this. If your car is heading off the road, let's say you lost control of your steering and your brakes, your car is heading off the road going over a cliff. Are you going to be disposed to the car? Are you going to be walking in accord with the car, or are you going to be disposed to the freaking door? If your car's heading off a cliff because you lost your brakes, you lost your steering. What are you going to be disposed to? I'd be disposed to the door latch, and I'd be getting the hell out of that car real quick. Okay, the analogy is, your flesh is the car. You've lost your steering, you've lost your brakes, the flesh is not able to do the things of God. It's heading off to the cliff. That's what it's doing. That's what it does. That's its specialty. You're going to be disposed to that? I wouldn't. I would be disposed to the door. I would be disposed to an escape from that misery. And the escape is the Spirit of God's making its home in you. Concentrate on that. Consequently then, brethren, debtors are we. We're in debt. We have work to do. But listen to what we're indebted to. Debtors are we, not to the flesh. We don't owe these flesh buggies anything. We don't owe this epidermis nothing. We're not in debt to it. But that's what religion told us. That's what every religion tells every acolyte, every wannabe religionist. You're in debt to your flesh. You owe your flesh to reform it. You owe your flesh to prop it up and to present it. It's like trying to, since we have been crucified with Christ, it's like trying to take a corpse and arrange it on a chair. Would that be difficult? Think of it. You want to take a picture with a corpse, let's say. All right, you can move your arm and everything the way you want it for the picture. You can go like this, you can go like this, you can go like this, but the corpse, not so much. So think of the struggle. It's absolutely dead weight. You're putting it up against the chair. You're picking up the arm, trying to put it in a nice place. The head's flopping over the place, so you have to kind of brace it up with sticks or something. It's always wanting to go like this or like this. So you would look very stupid trying to wrestle with a corpse in a chair to try to take a nice photo with you and the corpse. That's exactly what you are doing if you're trying to reform your flesh. You're wrestling with a corpse. It's not a good look. Stop it. So we're not debtors to the flesh to be living in accord with flesh. And again, living in accord with flesh has nothing to do with sinning. Living in accord with flesh is being concerned about what the flesh is doing, whether it's performing or not performing. For if you are living in accord with flesh, you are about to be dying. What did I just tell you? I'm so happy Paul agrees with me. This is really convenient for me. If you are concentrating on your crash, on the crashing car, which is these flesh buggies, crashing car. If you're living in accord with your crashing car, then you're about to be dying. And in fact, you're in the process of it now because your life's going to be miserable. And you're constantly going to be dragged down by your failures. Do you fail? Are you potentially dragged down by your failures? No need to be. This is your deliverance right here. Yet, if in spirit you're putting the practices of the body to death, you will be living. For whoever are being led by God's Spirit, these are sons of God. Be careful here. This is actually one of the greatest revelations within the greatest revelation. I told you the only possible way you have of causing a mortal body to do any good thing for God is to ignore it. How do you put the practices of the body to death? You do it. This is the greatest irony ever, the greatest paradox ever. You do it by being disposed to the Spirit. That's how you do it. This proves it. You don't put the practices of the body to death by focusing on the death or the practices. It's by focusing on the Spirit, by completely taking your attention away from the flesh and living in Spirit, being disposed to life, being disposed to the Spirit, not even looking back at what your flesh is doing. You will find that as you're disposed to the Spirit, it is a freaking miracle. Your flesh will wake up to some things, but it will never wake up to anything if you're disposed to the flesh. There it is. The only way that the practices of the body can be quelled, the only way the crash can be somewhat modified is if you're walking in accord with Spirit. And if you're doing that, you will be living. You will be living. At the same time, your body is responding to you not paying attention to it. The law says, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. Paul said it perfectly in Romans chapter 7. Did not think of coveting until the law said, thou shalt not be coveting. The law, or my flesh getting an incentive through the precept, deludes me, produces all manner of coveting. There you go. So Paul puts it behind him, doesn't even try not to covet anymore. Gave up on that. I'm going to forget the law that says thou shalt not covet. I'm not even going to try not to covet, because that's death. The disposition of the flesh is death. I'm going to completely concentrate on the door, the escape hatch. I'm going to look at Christ and leave my flesh behind. You're happy. Woohoo! Even though your body's failing, failing, failing. Then one day you look behind you and you go, oh my God, I haven't coveted in 15 minutes. That's because you're occupied with the Spirit. The opposite thing will not work, does not work. It's a slap in the face to Christ. This is the paradox. I keep telling you that. For whoever are being led by God's Spirit, these are sons of God. You are sons and daughters of God, and I'm happy about that because I'm a fellow brother. I'm your brother in Christ, and we're all preoccupied with the Spirit of God. Christians hate to see us this way. Oh, they're so distressed that we're not miserable like them. They can't believe that we can be happy or joyous or thanking God in light of our flesh continuing to fail. They can't stand it because they're working hard, working hard, working hard. And I can tell you this for a fact, while they're working hard, their flesh gets worse and worse. They become mean, they become bitter, they become angry, they insult you, they call you bad names, all while operating under the delusion that they are fighting their flesh and improving their flesh. But they're blind to the fact that they're getting worse and worse and worse. They're becoming more bitter, more angry. They're sure pissed at you. In the meantime, those of us who have forgotten about the flesh are going towards the door, let the thing crash. If you were to put our lives on a chart against their lives, we're better people. We're better people for not being disposed to the flesh. Have I mentioned the word paradox yet?